Hello, everybody. This is MLB.com Extras Minnesota Twins Edition. And I'm Anthony Cashman. I'm joined by Phil Rogers. And we're here to talk about those Minnesota Twins who host the 2014 All-Star Game, giving Target Field a much-deserved close-up attention on the national stage. Which, Phil, I mean, that place is one of the more beautiful ballparks in baseball, is it not?
It is. Let me say, though, I always enjoyed watching games at the Metrodome. I'm the one guy in America that did that. The seats were down there by home plate. You always knew the game was going to be played. I saw some great, great games there through the years. So I wasn't in that big of a hurry to get there. But, yeah, the downtown Minneapolis is awesome, and nice weather, beautiful ballpark, great franchise. And just still struggling to put a contending team there. The first year the park opened was really the last strong year for the Twins, and they seem to address their pitching in the off season. And now the lineup is still in a state of flux and not really producing the runs you would expect. Joe Mauer's moved to first base. Hasn't really returned him to the ranks of the most productive hitters in the league. We still see him falling off. So I'm like everybody else, I think, a little anxious to see the Twins succeed with the team they put in the ballpark.
Absolutely. And there's going to be a lot of questions about this Twins team coming out of the break as far as what they're going to do at the trade deadline. Do they move any of their bats in a market that will be starved for bats? And with that in mind, we'll bring in MLB.com's Rhett Bollinger, the Twins beat writer. Rhett, how you doing?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
Doing very well.
Great. Thanks for doing it.
That's a big question, Rhett. I mean, you look at guys like Josh Willingham, Kenry Morales, who they brought in season here. You know, these could be captivating pieces for contending clubs that the Twins might be able to get a nice return for, should they be so inclined.
Yeah, absolutely. They've obviously struggled recently. Got out of the gates okay. Against a tough schedule. In the last few weeks, they've kind of struggled leading into the All-Star break. So we talked to Terry Ryan. He's been saying that, you know, they're going to be looking to maybe be sellers again after struggling again this year. You mentioned, you know, Willingham's a big bat. Kendrick Morales is a guy they added in season thinking maybe they could compete. It hasn't really worked out in terms of, their struggles. And Morales has kind of been still working to kind of get his swing back and everything with that long layoff. Those are two offensive guys that I think could probably get a little bit of a return for if they were to trade them. Pitching-wise, Kevin Correa, veteran guy. Overall numbers aren't great this year, but has been pitching much better over the last, probably 2 months or so. Another guy that probably could be traded, or even, Kurt Suzuki, their All-Star representative, another guy that's been off to a good start this year, been solid behind the plate and a good offensive player this year as well, which is kind of a little unexpected, obviously, first-time All-Star. So those are kind of the four guys who could easily be traded by the deadline. I think Suzuki's probably the least likely just because he is an All-Star, and I think there's still a chance they might even want to bring him back next year. But Willingham and Correa and Morales are all in the last year of their contracts. So I can definitely see those people move to add some more young players and some talent back into the system after another year of struggling.
Red, it seems like the moves that that Terry Ryan and Rob Anthony and the rest of the front office made over the offseason to address the pitching deficit have actually worked pretty well. And I'm just wondering how much of a difference tone is it going into the second half of the year, you think, when you have a good feeling about the rotation? Phil Hughes seems to have been not just a big contributor when he pitches, but he seems to have kind of molded into leadership along with, Ricky Nolasco. You mentioned Kevin Correa, but it seems like it's a different dynamic for that rotation than it has been in recent years.
Yeah, obviously they spent a lot of big money in the offseason. The big problem was that, they got Mike Telefrey as well. They signed him back. He's pretty much out for the season with the surgery there. And then Nolasco's now dealing with an elbow problem too, and he's kind of struggled. But Phil Hughes has definitely been, worth the signing. He's been their best pitcher by far. He's been limiting walks, limiting home runs, which is a problem in New York. He's definitely been their staff ace so far. They've been very pleased with him. And they believe Nolasco, once he gets past this elbow thing, it was a guy they really liked when they signed him. And the big thing is, too, they've got a couple of big pitching prospects at AAA, and Trevor May and Alex Meyer, that are both expected to make their major league debuts after the All-Star break. So I think once they kind of – that's why I think Correa could be a guy that could be traded, because they could just put one of those guys in that spot and just let those see what those guys can do. in the second half of the season, because both those guys, Meyer and May, are both big-time prospects, especially Meyer.
I mean, and Hughes has been – the nice thing about Hughes is he signed for 2 years beyond this one, and you look at the control he's shown, the strikeout-to-walk ratio that's off the charts, and the affordable contract, that's a nice linchpin. I want to ask you about another – a young guy in the rotation, Kyle Gibson, his first full season. Had some really strong outings mixed in there. Doesn't strike out a ton of batters, relies heavily on the ground balls. What are you seeing from him? Do you think this guy's a mainstay as well?
Yeah, absolutely. The Twins, you know, have high hopes for him as well. The big thing with him this year is either he turns in a great outing or a clunker. I mean, I think his ERA and his wins is below one. His ERA and his losses is like above 12. So it's one of those things. Either you're going to get a great, you know, 7-8-inning start out of him with a bunch of ground balls, his location, his sinker's really working, and he's, you know, just getting a lot of ground balls and getting through those innings pretty quickly, or he's having, you know, an outing where he can't get the ball down and he's leaving it up and just guys are just hitting him and he's knocked out by the second or third inning. So I think once he gets a little bit more consistency and kind of can get through those early struggles and make adjustments, you know, kind of as he gets more experience, I think that those, you know, kind of those early clunkers will kind of go away. And I think that, you know, he can probably even get some more strikeouts as he goes along as he kind of learns more about the league. He still has pretty decent stuff. He's like totally a pitcher contact guy, but so far he kind of has been this year. But I do think the Twins have high hopes for him, a big, tall guy, strong guy, throws hard, gets those sinkers down there. So I think he's definitely going to be a big part of their plans in the future as well.
You know, I know for MLB pipeline guys and for Twins fans, it was a real buzzkill in spring training when Miguel Sano and Byron Buxton both went out with injuries. Sano, the Tommy John surgery, and Buxton, that left wrist problem that has kind of dogged him the first half of the season. But when you look past those guys, Danny Santana stepped in and you know, has given him something. I saw him in spring training. What, you know, you could see the speed and the skills. Does what he has done and what they've gotten from Brian Dozier this year kind of offset a little bit that you have to wait longer, or the feeling is you have to wait a little bit longer on the high-profile kids?
To a certain degree, yeah. I mean, Santana's been great. You know, in the first half, obviously, he had a little bit of an injury here recently leading into the All-Star break. But, I mean, he's been way better than they even expected, you know, in that short time he's been playing as a rookie. A lot of speed, hits for average, great defender at shortstop. They even had him out there in center field for a while because of some injury problems. And Dozier's obviously turned into a guy that was, you know, All-Star caliber at least this year with his, you know, home runs and stolen bases and all that and his great defense at second. That definitely helps. You know, those type of guys can be kind of building blocks as they go along. And Sano, obviously, the third baseman. The good news is that he was cleared right before the All-Star break to start his throwing program. There's still some hope that he could actually even DH late in the minor league season and then play some third and DH in Winter League in his native Dominican Republic. And Buxton, finally, right before the All-Star break, too, finally came back from his wrist injury. So at least those are two good signs from, you know, Buxton's the number one overall prospect, and according to MLB.com, Sano's the number three overall. So, I mean, those are two big-time prospects. So that was a tough thing this year was the Twins are hoping that both those guys could have healthy years, productive years, maybe even get a taste of the majors this year and next year be a big part of their team. But it looks like they're kind of pushed back a little bit. But at least the middle infield right now with Dozier and Santana looks a lot better. And obviously Buxton up the middle there in center. Sano at third. Obviously you have Maurer at first, and he struggled this year. But I figure he'll turn it around. Obviously he's hurt right now. But it's one of those things. We have some building blocks, Meyer and May as part of the rotation. So they definitely have a pretty stocked farm system. It's just a matter of getting all those guys out there and kind of learning together. And sometimes I'm sure there'll be some bumps in the road with some of these prospects coming up, but obviously there wasn't any for Santana. So I think the Twins are definitely pleased with Santana and Dozier. And, you know, there's still some other top prospects down there. Osmo Pinto, a catcher, still working on his defense, but it seems like he's going to be a pretty good hitter. You know, Jorge Polanco, another infielder, got called up all the way from single A all the way to the majors. First time the Twins had done that since, I believe, the early 1980s. It was more of a need thing for a weekend, but even in that short weekend, he did really well. So the Twins definitely are very high on their farm system, but it's just a matter of kind of getting those guys ready to go so this Twins team can finally be good again for the first time since 2010.
You mentioned Meyer and May and potentially seeing them here in the second half. You know, May unfortunately had that injury, the calf injury, had to pull out of the Futures game. Meyer replaced him. Meyer's had up and down season at Rochester, but really a tantalizing prospect when you look at the size and the stuff. What have been the reports on him this year? What have you heard about him?
Yeah, I mean, think about Meyer. He really does possess kind of a rare thing of size and speed, you know, with his fastball. I mean, the guy is 6'9", which is pretty rare for a starting pitcher, and he throws. You can get up there to 98 miles per hour, even as a starter. Really good kind of wipeout slider, uses as kind of his out pitch for strikeouts. But the thing is, with him just being such a tall, lanky guy, it's just tough for him sometimes to repeat that delivery. And so down in the minors, he's had some really great starts where he's just overpowered hitters with his great stuff. And he's kind of got his command and control going. And then there's those days where it doesn't really put it all together. And, you know, he might even have okay numbers in terms of, like, kind of limiting the runs because his stuff's so good. But he might only last, like, 3 innings. He had a streak of about 3 of those type of starts in, I believe, in early June, where it was kind of 3-inning starts where he couldn't get through it and couldn't really get his command going. And he's been pitching better recently, which is good, and that's why he was kind of added to this futures game roster. But, yeah, I mean, he's definitely a big-time prospect. I mean, he's definitely their best-picking prospect, along with, you know, Mays up there. And Cole Stewart is another guy that they drafted, you know, in their first round of last year's draft that they like a lot. You know, Jose Berrios is another guy they took in the supplemental round the year before that. They just got recently promoted to Double-A New Britain. So there definitely is some pitching down in the pipeline. It's a matter of getting them all up here. And obviously Myron May are the closest to getting up here. And Meyer, though, definitely kind of has the most upside of all those guys. He's a guy that could be an overpowering, you know, dominating, you know, 6'9", hard-throwing right-hander.
Well, definitely something to look forward to in the second half. Thanks for being on with us, Rhett. This is Phil Rogers with Anthony Kastrowitz for MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.